Hello and welcome back to Millennial 2021. There was a technical screw up with the previous stream, something to do with the connection between StreamYard and Odyssey. I don't know what it was, but hopefully this one will work okay. I'm just going to wait actually to hear whether it is.
Make sure that it works.
Yeah. Let's see. In fact, I'll try it myself. Because otherwise we'll get into it. And it says starting soon.
Is it that you're going to rely on the comments if it's working and they're trolling you? It's like, we cannot hear you, Woz.
Hopefully they don't do that.
Stream seems to be breaking up.
Ah, there we go.
Perfect.
The comments if it...
Right, there we go. There we go. Excellent. Okay, we are online. We are streaming. Okay. So we'll get to it immediately. I'm here with Bitcoin Flavius, or is it Flavius? How is it pronounced? Do you know?
Whatever you like, Woz.
Okay, we'll go with Flavius. Now, he is a European guy. He's been involved in distant circles, but he's also into crypto. And he knows quite a lot about crypto, and he's here to explain some things, explain how useful crypto could be for us, not just for content creators like me, not just for organizations, but not just for public individuals, but also for private individuals. Because the key thing here is that there is a system, that there is an establishment, there are powers that be, and they're trying to make it as difficult as possible to go against the grain, to go against the status quo that they set. And their first targets are people like me, and more prominent people than me, but then eventually that will lead to the ordinary member of the public who is not on board with global HOMO. They absolutely will try to punish people by shutting down bank accounts, denying access to online payment processors, and so on. So, in other words, the point is that crypto can be useful for all sorts of people. Flavius, welcome to Millennial.
Thank you, Woz. It's a pleasure to be on. I'd hate to be that guy, but it's Bitcoin, not crypto, I'm afraid. At least if you would act with me. So,
all right. Well, in that case, I'll rephrase it. But I'm undecided on that. But anyway, it's your episode. So explain briefly why you think, you might just repeat what I've just said, but in your own words, I'd like to hear it from you. Why should people get into Bitcoin?
Okay, so I think there is a statement that's at the core of my story here, and we'll take the rest of the conversation to flesh that out. But if you hand over responsibility to someone else, it means you give them control and you rely on them. If you don't want to rely on somebody else, you have to take responsibility. And Bitcoin allows you to take responsibility. And to get back on what you started with, is that people rely on a lot of infrastructure and systems. And when it comes to payments and in the economy and financial systems, you rely on the infrastructure of Visa and MasterCard, you rely on the infrastructure of banks and central banks. And that means that they also have control over you, and that allows them to censor you. And the point with Bitcoin is that it gives you the option to take that control back and not rely on these parties. In a sense that you couldn't do before, because if you wanted to do it now or pre-Bitcoin, let's say, you would have to get a banking license. And there's no practical way you are getting a banking license, or any of the other content creators are getting their own personal banking license, in order to be on a level playing field within this financial infrastructure.
Yeah, and you'd have to start your own. You'd literally have to start your own bank.
Correct. Yeah.
Which, and not only would that mean getting your own banking license, it would mean millions and millions of dollars to even get started.
Right, you need starting capital of like a couple million at least, right, in order to get the license. And then also, indeed, you'd have to have like a building and an office and a lot of employees and whatever comes along with starting a bank, right?
Yeah, and all the legislation you'd have to obey and adhere to. But Bitcoin sidesteps all of that and enables you to be in control of your own finances. I suppose we should mention the word decentralized. Would you like to go into that?
Yes. So decentralization is in relation to power. And this is the whole point. So Bitcoin has three main properties. The fact that it's censorship resistant, it's there is double spend protection, which is just a technical term of saying that the rules that are used within the... Okay, one step back. What is Bitcoin? Bitcoin is an accounting system, right? It's a ledger, and it's an administration. And it's censorship resistant, so nobody can bar access to that ledger. There's double spend protection, which is just another way of saying that there is integrity of the rules that are followed or used within that ledger. And so everybody has to follow the rules. And it's immutable, which is another way of saying that the history doesn't change. So once an action is taken, you cannot revert it anymore. And the notion of decentralization is important in relation to power, such that there is no power or authority or single entity that can either bar you access or change the rules or turn back time or change the history.
Now, can contrast that with PayPal or MasterCard or Patreon,
where they can censor you.
Yeah. Right? You might have a way to support someone or a way to get supported by people, and that gets completely wiped out by the press of a button on a screen at PayPal. And your entire livelihood, your way of supporting yourself is gone. Now, that has happened to many people, many content creators, and you can imagine how devastating it is for them. But it's also happened. It's also happened to ordinary people who have just donated to the wrong person or have said the wrong thing. And I do think that it's going to happen to an increasing number of people. So again, this is why Bitcoin, crypto in general, is so potentially useful to us. Sorry to interrupt you, Flavius.
No, that's no problem. So, like, one of the first Bitcoin examples is actually WikiLeaks. And this is very early on in Bitcoin's history, and it kind of spooked Satoshi, the creator of Bitcoin, because it was garnering a lot of attention very early on in its stage of development, where the payment processing for WikiLeaks was cut off. So people started to use Bitcoin in order to donate to WikiLeaks. And that's an early example. And to your point, there is a spectrum here on... how edgy you are, let's say, and those that were very edgy get cut off the first, like get cut off first. But this repression and financial censorship, etc., it's ramping up. So it's just going to cover more and more of that spectrum. To ultimately, it's going to touch you to some point, right? If you were to extend this thing that's going on with the COVID passports, etc. If you were to extend that, I'm not necessarily saying it is going that way, but it's not hard to imagine it currently for it going that way, that you would have to have a COVID pass in order to even do the financial transaction in the store, because you're not allowed there anyway, so why not just include that into the payment system as well, that to make sure that nobody that is not has a green check mark on their COVID pass cannot do the transaction.
Yeah, and that could even apply to online payments. So you try to buy something on Amazon or whatever, and you just can't because you don't have the COVID. Your COVID pass is not up
to date. Be absolutely brutal. But
why not? Why wouldn't they do that? Because that's a good way to maintain control.
Well, the point eventually is that it's in the way things are set up now, it's at somebody else's discretion whether you have access to this infrastructure or not. Right, that's the point that we're getting to. It's by somebody's discretion, and contrasting that with Bitcoin on what we're going on with. So we've had the censorship part, but this discretion part is that Bitcoin is not discretionary; it's rule based, right? So, and as I pointed out, it's that there is integrity in the rules. It's not no longer by the discretion of any system or party or what you can do or what you can't do, etc. Also, this thing is, and this might something that come up later. Central banks are now looking into the prospect of central bank digital currencies, which would be like a digital type of the dollar.
I'll just briefly interrupt. Sorry. This is interesting because it's like the demon version. It's like the dark version of crypto because they want the maximum control, and they've realized that they could program the money to do various things and not do various things for specific people. I mean, it's really quite incredible. It's like you've got the light and dark here.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a complete inverse of what Bitcoin is in this sense, right? Where they can censor you, as you said, it's programmable, where they can just change the rules according to their discretion. And it's funny, the head of the Bank of International Settlement, he talked about central bank digital currencies, and he contrasted that with cash. And the interesting thing is that all these bugs, let's say, all these problems that arose with the credit system of the way we do payments now via banks, etc., those are features or bugs that came up on how the infrastructure is set up right now. But it wasn't; it didn't used to be that way. Nobody could censor cash, right? Nobody could track and trace cash. So the world was using cash for a long, long time, and only in this short period of a couple of years have we had this current system. But that's the new normal for them. So when the head of the Bank of International Settlement was contrasting his CBDC idea in relation to cash, he was talking about the anonymity of cash and the fact you couldn't track and trace it, and all this stuff as problems with cash that we could now solve with their central bank digital currency. Whereas I would posit it's like the completely opposite way. It's like with the current system arose all these problems that we can now solve with Bitcoin and fix it again, right? The what happened in the last 30 years or so, for what is it, we're in 2021, last let's say 40 years, we got into a situation where we really don't want to be, but the power structure really likes it, and they see this central bank digital currency as their final step as to make it complete. And I'm at exactly the other side of that battle here with Bitcoin.
I can actually, strangely enough, that clip was shared just 10 minutes ago on the CryptoNats group on Telegram.
And,
it must have been a coincidence. It's quite amazing. The head of the Bank for International Settlements says that he wants complete control over money via banning cash in favor of central bank digital currencies. And the quote is, "The central bank will have absolute control on the rules and regulations that will determine the use of money. And we will also have the technology to enforce that." Absolute control over the rules and regulations that will determine the use of money. The use of money. And Bill Gates, there's a clip of him saying a similar thing about tracking and monitoring individual transactions. This is what they want.
Yeah.
I mean, it's quite incredible.
Yeah, they're not hiding it in that sense. They're pretty blatant about it. Because they are enthusiastic, right? You got all these parts in the systems because they're technocrats, right? So the central bank technocrat really likes it because he can control money flows in ways that before they couldn't. So they want to manage and control systems. So this allows to give them a lot more control. Your tax agency really likes it because now we have a system where you have to declare your taxes, but so it's something after the fact. And they already see this future where they can where you are forced to pay your taxes real time. You're not even getting around it, right? You immediately pay your value added tax. So all they see is a means to make their work, their technocratic work of control and management easier. And that's why they're enthusiastic about it. And so they're not necessarily hiding it.
I don't think they're hiding it.
No, they aren't.
I think they're hiding the world that it will lead to, which is a world of totalitarian control and surveillance.
But you'll own nothing, Woz, but you'll be happy.
Exactly. They're making it sound sort of cute and cuddly and safe, and everyone will be safe.
No, but what does that imply? Yeah. It implies you're cattle.
Precisely.
Cattle doesn't own anything, but it's happy, right?
Yeah. Exactly. So I think it would be a good idea to go into some practical stuff, because as I said to you, and I'll say it live now, I think that people are very... It's like any new thing. People find crypto in general. This certainly includes Bitcoin. People find it intimidating, confusing. They've got no idea where to start. And this is what I was trying to do last year with my streams about Bitcoin. I was trying to make it demystify it for people. I was trying to make it seem simple, because there are ways in which it can be very simple. And you could just open an account with Coinbase or Binance or these other ones, Kraken, and connect your bank card to that, and then buy some crypto, and that's it. You're in the game then. And I'm not, by the way, this is not financial advice. I'm not saying that you should do this or that you must do this. I'm simply saying this is something you could do. For legal reasons, we should make that clear. For whatever, I just don't want to.
I get it.
It's
a cliche, so, but yeah, okay.
It of course it's a cliche, but I just can't be bothered with the trouble that people say, where's your qualification, all this sort of stuff. But the point is, it can be that simple. You just open an account, connect your bank account, and buy some crypto. Another way is with MoonPay. You open an account, a wallet somewhere, maybe Coinomi. And then you use MoonPay and just paste in your address on Coinomi and buy it with your credit card using MoonPay. That would be another way. I'm sure there are others that that I'm not aware of. But there are many ways. It does not need to be a very complicated, intimidating thing. Ironically, when I first got into this, I had no idea what Bitcoin was, or this was in 2016 or 15. I'd never heard of it before, and people were saying, "Do you have a Bitcoin address that I could donate to?" That this was a different era when people were much more forthcoming with Bitcoin donations, because it wasn't worth as much as it is now, and I didn't even know what it was. But I opened a wallet and pasted the address, and donations started coming in. And I had no idea then how significant it was going to be just a few years later. But now it seems massively significant. So what would you say about the simplicity and how people can get started?
Yeah, so Bitcoin started in 2009. So that means that we're now, what is it, 13 12. Years? Almost 13 years now. And a lot has changed in those years. Things have gotten a lot easier. But on the one hand, things are getting easier. On the one hand, there's also a frontier of new developments that are initially hard, but are also getting easier with a fast pace. And one of those things is something that I want to talk about later, and also give a demonstration, because people might be able to see the QR codes on the screen. I'll get into that. So what you talked about is like buying the Bitcoin.
And yeah, because that's obviously getting started.
That's,
people
exactly. That's step started. One, right? So you need to get your hands on these Bitcoin. Then the second step is that now, if you're using Coinbase or these other exchanges or brokers, they're on their account. So you have technically price exposure with Bitcoin, but you don't actually own it or you don't have possession it or control over it, and you're not using it in that sense.
Yeah, this is a midway point between having total responsibility and not. It's what most people will want at this time. That's why
we'll just keep in the back of our minds the most lowest barrier of entry user, right? We'll try to keep things as simple as possible. Because if I would have to give advice, I would have to, it depends on the person and their situation, but we'll just take someone who can't be bothered, it quickly overwhelms him, et cetera, et cetera. So buying the Bitcoin is relatively easy, right? Everybody should be able to do it. And then the second step is to if you have a bunch of money in Bitcoin, storing that Bitcoin can be a hassle, right? It's getting easier. It's getting a lot of easier, but you know, we have the Joe Smo here as an example. So we can't be bothered. We'll just leave the vast amount of Bitcoin on the exchange, right? It's safer. It's safer on the exchange than if he takes his custody of his own coins.
Yeah, that's on Coinbase or Binance or whatever it is. The alternative is he could have his own hardware wallet. In which case he would have total responsibility for it. And if anything happened to that hardware wallet, he would lose the Bitcoin.
Not necessarily to the hardware wallet, but to the passphrase, right? There's a central passphrase. It's either 12 words or 24 words, and that would be the last resort access to that Bitcoin. But what I want to get into is that, okay, we're not going to take custody of all our value in Bitcoin. What we're going to do is we're going to take a little bit of Bitcoin, let's say $50, right? So we're going to take that $50 and we're going to put it on our own Bitcoin wallet. And those Bitcoin wallets these days they're just wallets on your phone. There are a whole bunch of them. And the one I'm going to introduce right now, I've chosen for two specific reasons. And the first reason is that it reduces a lot of complexity. It's easy to use. And the second one is that it has all the required features that also I'm going to use for the demonstration right now. And that Bitcoin wallet is called Breeze. It's Breez. You can download it on your Google Play Store or on the iPhone Store. You can just download it on your phone, and it's fairly easy to set up. And we're now going to transfer like $50 worth of Bitcoin from that account to your phone. So that's the first step, because now you can get you can try it out, right? You can try out to receiving the Bitcoin and sending the Bitcoin and maybe buy something with the Bitcoin, sending it to somebody else, etc. You can start interacting with Bitcoin to get a feel for things, right? So because that's a lot easier than taking custody of your entire worth. Don't bother. Just leave it on the exchange for now, because the only way you're going to get to the level where you're comfortable enough to take custody of more of your own Bitcoin is if you're going to go through this process of actually using it, because most people did that, right? It's not as if most people just go sit down, read all the documentation and all the tutorials and all that stuff from A to Z till they're some expert and then they start with Bitcoin. It doesn't work that way. It is a process. So there are two things that I want to, and that's what I want to go into this with this demonstration that I have here on my screen, that there is a development within Bitcoin. It's called the Lightning Network.
Yes, now this is going to be very important because let me just say, one of the things that's often said about Bitcoin is that it's slow, it's expensive, like transactions are expensive because there's a fee attached to moving it to another wallet and so on. Lightning is an attempt to build an infrastructure to eliminate those problems. So there you go, Flavius.
Yeah, so to expand a little bit more on that, because I don't want to explain a whole bunch of things. I don't want to get into technical details. So I thought about this long. It's like, okay, what is the minimal viable explanation that I can give? And in relation to Bitcoin, so and this is what we call on chain or main chain, right? It's the Bitcoin that you know. It's about this blockchain thing, and it's indeed very. It can be fairly expensive and slow, et cetera. It has all these properties. That system, that Bitcoin system, is not a payment system. That system is a contract settlement system. And what it does, it settles and creates what we call smart contracts. And the way to think, we currently, or in these past 12, 13 years, we've used the most basic, simplistic contracts in order to have as a function payments. But payments is like an economic function that you're doing. Whereas we can do all other kinds of functions on this system. So using the payment function is a very stupid thing to do. But we didn't have much else to do with it, so that's how we used it. But something else we can do right now is set up contracts among parties where they lock up funds. And out of these contracts, we can build a network where a liquidity network that network can now be used for payments. So there is a second network created on top of Bitcoin. And if you're using the Lightning Network, you're using actual Bitcoin. It's not some altcoin. It's not a token. It is actual Bitcoin that you're using. But you're using it on this separate layer that is constructed on an infrastructure out of smart contracts built on Bitcoin. So I'm not sure if that's clear. If it's not clear, then not. Just if your takeaway is this is actually instant, it's reasonably instant, it's reasonably cheap, right? Yeah, whereas Bitcoin was slow and expensive.
Yeah, I think the key thing is what I said, that Bitcoin on its own is slow and it is quite expensive. The Lightning Network is a way to sidestep those issues. That's the point of it.
Yeah, I would take issue with this notion of Bitcoin being slow and expensive, because if you were to if we're going to settle very complex contracts, or if we're going to transfer large amounts of money, right, then all of a sudden Bitcoin is really fast and cheap, right? If I were to send $500 million worth of money from America to China, there is no other way that you can do it cheaper and faster than with Bitcoin. So
if anyone does want to do that, my Bitcoin address is quite easily available.
So, but it's details, right? One thing that required that explanation is the Bitcoin that you have in the Lightning Network is your payment account, right? It's not your savings account. So that's something you have to understand. It's that you shouldn't rely on that. Where the Bitcoin you have on Lightning to sit there, come back in 10 years and still have access to it. It doesn't necessarily work that way. Whereas with the on-chain slow Bitcoin, it does work that way, right? So if you want to save up money for a long time, then don't use Lightning. But if you want to do everyday payments type of things, or donate to millennial, then Lightning is actually the way to go. And yeah. One more thing I have to say is that we're very early. Lightning technically saw the light of day in the beginning of 2018. Development has been very fast, and it's growing a lot, especially this last year. But the same way that we made a mistake with Bitcoin, where first people thought it's like, oh, this is a payment system, and then we came to the realization, oh, wait, it's not a payment system. It sucks as a payment system. We don't necessarily know to what extent we can use the Lightning Network as a payment system, right? So that goes all the way up from this dream of microtransactions every nanosecond. So doing a billion transactions per second, right, let's say, for all these tiny little things. Maybe every letter you type in a chat app is a payment, that type of stuff. All the way up to, so a lot of them are very cheap and very small, all the way up to using it as an interbank settlement layer, let's say, where these large Bitcoin exchanges have this Lightning Network among them in order to settle Bitcoin really fast among exchanges. So that's a lot, that's large amounts of money and less amount of payments and et cetera. So that's, and everything in between, and we don't necessarily what the domain is going to be. We already know reasonably that it can fulfill that function among exchanges, and we're slowly seeing this occur. And we still have to wait and figure out to what extent we can actually push this technology in terms of the fast and cheap. But now, if you want to do a donation for a couple bucks towards Millennial or something like that, it works perfectly fine.
Yeah, and this is the thing. You don't get a Bitcoin donation of $5 because it's not... nobody does that anymore because it's just not worth... The transaction fees would make that a ridiculous transaction to make. But you do get Bitcoin Lightning donations of $5 and $1 and 50 cents because it's so much cheaper. So it's something that makes small transactions much more sensible, much more feasible. So, I mean, that's what I've noticed. And, you know, I did create a Bitcoin Lightning wallet. And again, it's available at millennialwoes.com/crypto. And also, you can send a message with certain wallets. So it's an ideal system for super chats. So hopefully, you know, because who knows what the future holds for fiat systems there. You know, I hope nothing bad happens, but you never know. It might be that this is what we have to rely on in the near future for super chats. You know, dissidents. I mean, obviously, Vosh is going to be okay. Vosh, Philosophy Tube, these kinds of content creators, you'll always be able to use YouTube's internal super chat system for them. But for us, it might be that we have to use things like that and Cointree. Crypto super chat solutions, because and as I say, it's because of the Lightning Network that this is possible. Yeah, Flavius.
Oh, sorry, my mic was muted. There are two things here. I forgot it. Well, I'll just ask my question then, and maybe it pops up. I wanted to ask you. What your experience was when I introduced you to Lightning? I think it was like 2 weeks ago or something.
Oh, yeah, it was about three. I think it was longer, 3 or 4 weeks ago. But very recent. I thought it was great, and there's a Telegram bot that does this. So there's a Telegram bot called LNTX bot, and you can start a conversation with that, and it creates a Bitcoin Lightning wallet for you, and then you can use that to send to either receive donations or to send donations to other Lightning wallets. It's just over Telegram. It's just amazing. I mean, this is the kind of thing that we absolutely should be getting into, and again, not just people like me who are, you know, content creators. All sorts of people could be using this. If another dissident does does some work for you, does designs a logo for you, fixes your plumbing for you, then one way to pay them would be with that. This is, and as I say, right now you could just pay them with cash, or you could pay them with your bank card or whatever. Right now you could, but who knows about 5 years from now or 10 years. So if it's coming, and I think it is, that we're forced to use these things, then why not do it now so that we're ready for it?
There are a couple of things we can expand on, but maybe now is a good time to give a brief demonstration of this thing.
Yeah,
now that we're talking about it. So in your Telegram chat, I've posted a message now, and it's the same QR code that you see on the screen in the left one. It's called the faucet. So if the people who are listening now can go to Telegram, they and go to your chat, they can click on the @LNTX bot that's in the message, and it will get you into a conversation with that bot. And once you're in that conversation and you started it, like you said, it creates a Lightning wallet. And if you take a picture of the left QR code, I've tried this. You have to make sure, don't get real up close. Just keep like 30 centimeters distance. Then it should work. If you just paste a picture of the QR code in the chat with LNTXBot, you'll automatically receive 130 Satoshis. And to give some perspective, because we were talking about amounts, 130 Satoshis is 0.6064 dollars. So it's 6 cents, right? And so you receive 6 cents in your wallet. It's practically instant. And then subsequently, you can use that to pay the other QR code that's on the right. And that QR code is there to trigger an animation on my side that should pop up on the screen. So I hope that people are able to work this out, and that it works. And then I hope this is like it's. I'm just giving these. They're small amounts, right? I'm giving you 6 cents, and you're paying 10 satoshis. That's even less. That's half a cent. Just to get a feel of this network and this system, of how it works. And the caveat with LNTXBot is that it's like completely custodial. It's run by some dude, and some dude owns your funds, and some dude probably is able to track what you're doing with those funds. So it's just for play money, right? Don't put your life savings on LNTXBot. But the thing is that it's just a low barrier of entry way to get used to this system and get a feel for it. Because when I introduced this to Woz, his first response was I had this conception of or this way of looking at Bitcoin that it was slow and expensive, and he immediately got the sense of that it's a new paradigm.
Yes, yeah, because as I said, because it's small amounts, but it's very fast. And it's real time. You can see on Telegram that the message is coming in, telling you someone's just donated, and it was amazing. It was very exciting. Can you be clear about what you want people to do here with these QR codes? I think people aren't quite understanding.
I haven't been looking at the chat. At least Bruno got it figured out. So so you have to copy the left QR code that's called faucet, and that's a faucet, and you can receive 130 satoshis, and then you can use those satoshis to pay the right QR code that says trigger animation for 10 satoshis, and that should trigger the Bitcoin animation. if the server that I'm using hasn't crashed, because I'm using a demo server, and these are the demo gods are at play. So always when you're alive, it doesn't work. That's also always how these things go. And it should trigger an animation of a Bitcoin logo at the bottom left. It looks like the server has crashed. I'm gonna reset it. So everybody can at least start with the LNTX bot and claim the 130 Satoshis. If it doesn't work, it's probably because somebody else just claimed it. There's a small timer on it. Just try again. And you know, this, like I said, this is very low barrier of entry. LNTX bot is very useful in Telegram because you can tip each other within Telegram. The places where the bot enters often become a casino really fast because you can do these coin flips and that type of stuff. But then the next step would be to get an app on your phone. And like I said, one of the main easiest apps to use is called Breeze, B-R-E-E-Z. And you just send the Bitcoin, so maybe from your exchange or wherever, just send that to that wallet. And it automatically makes it such that you can use the Lightning Network with those Bitcoins. So you don't have to do anything else anymore. And that's one of the reasons I chose that application. Right. Now, again, to get back, I'm going to reset the server on my side one moment, because apparently it has crashed. So I'm probably sharing a different screen right now than I shouldn't. But that's OBS doing its work. So you get a sneak peek of the back end here. Let's see. No.
I mean, the thing is, I've seen this, the LNTX bot, there's no doubt that it works. What Flavius has set up here is something on the fly to do a demo. I think it's worth saying that these other things like LNTX bot are pretty solid. I've had no problems with it so far. And it is something that I want to encourage people to use, because as I say, I think it might be what we're driven to. And the other thing is that all of this is getting more sophisticated all the time. Lightning didn't exist when I started with Bitcoin. It wasn't something that I heard about for until about a year ago or 2 years ago at the most. And I know that actually, of all people, Jack Dorsey is getting into it because basically he's been pushed out of Twitter.
Well, he recognized that Bitcoin is something you mentioned on the stream 2 days ago with Carl. You talked about programming, and that programming is a language for function. And I send in a response that Bitcoin is the language of value. And this is something that I wanted to get into, is that we have a lot of platform dependency, right? So platform dependency on YouTube in terms of sending out our content, but also platform dependency on Super Chats or PayPal or Visa or MasterCard. These are platforms. And Bitcoin is a protocol, and that means that it's a language. So you're able to embed that language into any platform that you want, right? Everywhere where you can speak, you can type characters onto a screen, you're able to use Bitcoin. And maybe that's something difficult to wrap your head around, but it's the QR code that you see right now on your screen, right? That's just pixels. It's characters, and it allows you to use now via we're streaming via what is it, StreamYard. It allows me to still speak in the language of value in order to donate or to receive Bitcoin or these other types of things. So because it's a protocol, it's a language, not a platform, you can be far more flexible in, you're not dependent on these platforms. You can be on all the platforms and use the same, we got our first successful
there we go. Right. Animation. Fantastic.
Congratulations to the person who did that. You can be on 1,000 different platforms and you just show the same QR code and everybody can pay you, right? You're not dependent on YouTube Super Chat or what is the other thing that you're using right now?
Entropy,
right?
Yeah. And you know, I'm worried about Entropy because the SPLC just put out a smear piece about them the other day. There's also CoinTree, that's crypto super chats. But, because I do the Gram broadcast on Telegram, it would be great if... Oh, there's another one. Fantastic. It would be great if there was a way to do super chats within Telegram. And so that's why one of the reasons why LNTX bot could be so useful next year, for me specifically, but also for my commenters.
Yes, and this goes further. So what I'm and what you people saw when I was trying to set things up there, I'm using something called LN Bits, and it's like a deck where you have all these types of applications, and one of the applications I'm using right now is CoStreamer or Copilot, or sorry, Streamer Copilot, and that allows me to embed this QR code and trigger these animations as an overlay when I'm streaming. Another one is this this application that allows me to set up this faucet. It's getting a lot easier for programmers to create all these different types of applications that you would have in something like Entropy, for let's say, but you're able to host them yourself if you need to, right? There are easier ways to set these things up, but if you are, so there are two audiences I'm speaking to right now. There is the listening audience and there are the content creators. And I'm now trying to talk to the content creators where this, there are these tools that you can use in order to, receive these payments and use them in different types of functions, like Millennial said, like this super chat function, or just the regular donations that you can receive, accounts or user access to parts of your website that you have via a paywall with Bitcoin. There are all these different applications that you can use with this Internet of Money. Going back to Jack Dorsey, I think Jack Dorsey sees this, right? That it's this protocol of value and this language of the Internet of Money, or money of the Internet rather. That there are all these tools that start to become available and easier to use. That if you are repressed enough, you can just. You can host them yourself and you don't have to rely on anybody else. And because one of the main problems that we're facing is that it's a chicken and egg problem, right? Do we have content creators able to receive Bitcoin?
Oh, there's another one.
There's another one. Do we have content creators able to receive Bitcoin? And do we have an audience able to send it, right? And we have to wiggle our way through. And that's basically my mission here with this stream right now, is to convey this message to both these audiences of both the listeners and the content creators, is just please pick it up. Please, both of you, you have to pick it up. You have to start using it because there is added value for you here, especially in the context of all the censorship that's going on.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's my plea, right? And I'm trying to. There are too many things, right? One more important thing that I have to mention. I mentioned this wallet called Breeze, B-R-E-E-Z. It's a Lightning wallet. It's not just a Lightning wallet. It's a it's also a podcast wallet or a podcast app. So it's two in one. And Adam Curry, because and this is in the same vein of the discussion that we had, Adam Curry, I'm not sure if people are aware of who he is. He's called the pod father because he is the original inventor of podcasting. And that ultimately boils down to this notion of an RSS feed, which is a simple feed that you can subscribe to in order to receive new episodes of a podcast. And when he created this, he ultimately went to Apple because they had the iPod, and he saw like the golden combination of the iPod and his thing called podcasting. And so that resulted that the index of all these feeds came with Apple. So Apple has the mother load of all the data feeds on podcasts. And a few years ago, he saw the writing on the wall, where it's like, wait, we're getting signals of censorship going on. And Apple is in control of like the majority of these feeds. So he set up an initiative called Podcasting 2.0 to set up a new database for podcast feeds. And that has evolved to now where you can include this Lightning payment function where you can pay per minute or donate rather. You can donate per minute listened to a podcast. And it's all automatic in the Breeze wallet. You can just subscribe to your podcast. You can listen it. You can set the rate that you want to pay, how many satoshis per minute. And you just set it and forget it. And what it does, it automatically sends these tiny bits of Bitcoin to the content creator. But the most important thing is that the stream is there. The connection is made. And over time, more will flow through it. But the point is that the initial connection is made. So if you are a podcaster or you have a podcast feed, please look into Podcasting 2.0 and set this up and make sure you're able. People can find your podcast in these podcast apps called like Breeze, so they can start sending you Bitcoin.
There was another one that just went there. You got another donation.
No, oh yeah, that's something I have to mention is that all the satoshis that I'm giving out and flowing back, I'm donating to WOS. So,
well, thank you.
They're going by 10 sets per animation, so you're not going to get rich off of this. But this is all for the effort of Millennial.
Well, thank you very much. I think one thing that's important is to make this as simple as possible for people, because while there are the people who want maximum responsibility. And that is an appealing idea to them. This is the trouble that libertarians always have, is that not everyone wants maximum responsibility and to be the sort of desperado on the post-apocalyptic landscape who does everything for himself. The trouble that libertarians have is they don't realize that not everyone is like that. In fact, most people aren't. Most people want things to be simple and they want a solution to solve a problem in their life, to make their life simpler. Now, in our case, yes, you can take maximum responsibility with Bitcoin and be in total control of your funds and your finances, but it can also solve problems for you. And you know, in our case, the problem that it solves for us is the problem of being defunded, deplatformed from funding platforms. To make this as simple as possible, how would someone get Bitcoin and then transfer it into a Lightning wallet so that they could then use it for these microtransactions and send it to different people?
Yes. So you would download the app on your phone that I've mentioned a couple times now. It's called Breeze, B-R-E-E-Z. You can find it in the App Store. It's not that there aren't other wallets. I just had to pick one.
That's fine.
And it's fairly simple. If you want to figure out how it works and you're unsure, you just go to YouTube and type in Breeze tutorial, and that there are good tutorials on how it works, but you don't necessarily need it because it pops up. you have a big button. It's called, it states, let's breeze. And then it initiates the wallet for you. And you press receive and you say receive via BTC address. And there you paste in the, there you get a Bitcoin address and you paste that Bitcoin address into Coinbase where you're withdrawing. And then you send the Bitcoin to that wallet and it automatically makes it such that you can use it for Lightning purposes. So you would be able to scan this QR code to trigger the animation, or you would be able to scan the your QR code that I actually should have set up. Here we go. So we have this is your QR code. So this is the QR code for Woz. So if you send that, if you scan that with your mobile app, or you copy this QR code and paste it into LNTXBot, you can send money and you can type in a message and you can make a super chat that way, right? So that would be the flow. And on the other hand, if you don't have any Bitcoin or not on an exchange or whatever, just get into Telegram, ask nicely, or maybe there is a giveaway of Satoshis, and then all of a sudden you have a little bit of Satoshis in your Lightning wallet, in your LNTX wallet, on Telegram, that you can now start to use to figure out stuff, right? There are websites with all, one website might be good to call. It's called Satoshi's Place. So Satoshi's.place. And it's an online graffiti board where you can buy pixels. So you can draw penises on a web page on the internet and you pay one Satoshi per pixel. That's one thing you can do with the newly received Satoshis that you got from this faucet or any other way. And that's one of the first applications that arose the moment Lightning began. So this is like I said, in 2018 the movement started under the banner Reckless, beginning with Lightning, and currently we are in the phase where exchanges are starting to integrate it. So unfortunately not Coinbase. Coinbase is probably going to be really slow. Hopefully more and more exchanges are going to implement it. And then it's going to be a lot easier because then you can just withdraw the Satoshis directly via Lightning onto your LNTX bot or wherever. But it's still early days, but the development is going really fast.
Yeah. Does Breeze allow you to buy Bitcoin like using a credit card or something?
Maybe, perhaps. Receive, buy Bitcoin. There is a button.
Right, okay. Okay.
A button called buy Bitcoin. I haven't tried it because these are normally not the ways I would do such a thing. But
I'm just wondering, because again, I'm trying to make this.
It goes to MoonPay. You were aware of MoonPay.io?
Yeah, I mentioned it earlier.
See, yeah. You can buy the Bitcoin via MoonPay within the Breeze wallet.
Right. Okay. So, that seems to be the bridge between fiat and crypto just now. MoonPay, and I first became aware of it about six months ago, maybe less than that, because again, this has been one of those things where people don't know how to get started in crypto. So MoonPay is a way that you can do that, but you do need a wallet, because MoonPay is what buys the Bitcoin and sends it to a wallet. So you need to have a wallet first, and ideally it should be a Lightning wallet. So Breeze would be the one to go for here. But that's one that you could go for. And again, I'm trying to make this as simple as possible, because obviously there are always options, there are always choices, and you can do what you like. I mean, it's up to you to research this and find it. I'm just giving you one possible path through all of this. It might be a path that we all need to take. That's the point.
Exactly. The and so technically, there are all these disclaimers and caveats and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm trying to bypass them by just saying, try it out with $50, right? There might be technically some privacy concerns, or there might be some security concerns of securing your funds and losing your funds and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Just try it out with $50. All the other stuff may come later. When you are forced to do more with it, right?
Yeah.
But just get your toes wet. That would be my message.
Yeah.
Both for the content creators and the listening audience.
Absolutely. I mean, you approached me I can't remember whether it was me who approached you about. Did I do that? Did I approach you and say, "Would you like to appear on Millennial?"
No. With our mutual contact, I by proxy contacted you because.
God, it's so difficult to remember when there are all these different streams. But ironically, it turned out that you and I had previously met.
Correct.
Which was interesting. But so you said to me that it could be so, like, crypto, Bitcoin could be so useful for our community, but we don't use it. Is there anything that you would like to give as examples of that, or is it, have we covered it already?
Let's for one moment go to the complete opposite end of and where I started.
Let me read out the things that have come in, because I want people to realize that this does have a tangible effect. And you can, Flavius, you can work out what you're going to say while I go through this.
Yes.
Because I want to read out the messages that have come in with these donations using the QR code. And this is through LNTX bot. Somebody said, Mr. Gadget said, "Thanks, Woz. Good to see Bitcoin getting promoted on your stream." Thank you very much. And Megawatt said, "Merry Christmas, Woz," from M. Thank you. Merry Christmas to you. An anonymous person said, "A small test for Woz just to see if it works. Put this code on every stream." Well, maybe that's a good idea. All right. Thank you. And Keys said, "If you can buy beer and chicken with it, it's money." Yeah,
that's to have a small remark on that. We have a Bitcoin meetups at a place where they sell beer and chicken. So and everything is paid with Lightning there, right? It's I don't know what the numbers are, 100 guys or something, and you pay your entry with Lightning, you pay your beer with Lightning, you pay your chicken with Lightning. Recently, a book was published that you could buy with Lightning.
God, the SPLC are never going to stop us getting our beer and chicken.
Correct.
All right. And then there was Phil, who says everything seems to work okay. That's good. And then there were five other transactions, donations made without sending a message. So there we go. That works very well. So thank you for putting that demo together. It clearly works, and LNTX bot works as well. So this is the kind of thing that ideally we want to get, or I want us to get into next year, so that it helps to bulletproof us for the future. And again, I would emphasize, it's not just for content creators like me. Obviously, I have to think about these things for selfish reasons, but also it could be very useful to all of us. Because who knows what they're going to do. And in terms of deplatforming people, bank accounts getting shut down, but also there is that guy from that oligarch saying, we want absolute control over the use of money. You know, that is a real thing. People should really take that to heart. Flavius. Welcome. I think you dropped out of the screen.
Yeah. I misclicked. I'm sorry.
Okay. So
but I'm back.
Okay. So would you like to continue with what you were going to say?
Yeah. Um, So I started out with this thing about responsibility, and if you hand it over, you rely on other people and they control you, and that Bitcoin allows you to take responsibility. And something you were stressing is that a lot of people don't necessarily want to take the responsibility, or need it to be easy in order to get going with these things. And that's fine. There are a lot of ways that you can take shortcuts, let's say. But let's for one moment talk about the scenario where Bitcoin allows you to take full responsibility. And so this is not necessarily for the listening audience, but more for the content creators who are feeling the repression. If you are accepting Bitcoin via just not via Lightning, but just regular Bitcoin, the way Woz has it set up right now, it's just one address, right? And that's no good, because then it's completely transparent for the whole world that is the address of Woz and what funds are coming in and where they're going, etc. So to take the opposite side of the spectrum, where you are taking full control, and I have to do a little bit of introduction here. There is a podcast where the podcast host made a tutorial to set up a Bitcoin node, and these things got a lot easier. And he did it at the beginning of the year and at the end of the year. Now, I think he converted, let's say, 300 people. And convince them and help them to buy about $200 worth of hardware. It's a Raspberry Pi and a hard drive, and set up the software, which is really easy. Just flash an SD card and put it in the Raspberry Pi and just turn it on, and that's all you need to do. And that allows you to run a Bitcoin node, but it also allows you to easily install all other kinds of applications. It has an app store. This software is called Umbrel, and it allows you to self-host everything. So all the applications, the Stream Deck that I'm demoing here, but also something called a BTC Pay server that allows you to put just a simple, nice button on your website where I click it, and it generates a new address. A new Bitcoin address every time somebody clicks it, so it's not obvious for the outside world that it's Woz's address and where the money goes to. So there's privacy enhancement. Like I said, it allows you to run your own Lightning node, so you don't rely on other parties there. So you can do all these things. You can take control, and yes, there are a lot of shortcuts that you can. That you can make just to make it easier. But at least take a look at it, how far you want to push yourself to that point of getting into full control and take full responsibility, because you don't want to be caught with your pants down, right? You don't want to be happy going and then all of a sudden the repression starts to ramp up, and now you're in the crosshairs and you're not prepared. So, yes, it takes a little bit more effort. It might take some money and some funds in order to set up these things, right? But ultimately, that's the price you have to pay for not relying on somebody. But that the whole point of Bitcoin is that you're able to do it, whereas before you just simply couldn't, because a banking license is far more expensive than running a Bitcoin node. So that's where I would end it.
Okay. And just to emphasize, that is one extreme. The other extreme is what we've just done tonight, where...
Yes, with the LNTX bot, right?
Yeah, and it's different mentalities. I mean, there are some people who will know, I should be in control, full control of my finances, because, you know, Klaus Schwab wants to fuck me over. But they just won't do it because, whatever, their lifestyle, they're too busy, they don't have the time. But there are other people who will... who will do that, who will go that distance. So it's important that they know that they can do that. It is now possible to a great extent to insulate yourself from the censorship and the machinations of Global Homo. But for the others, this is just something that you can take part in order to help the movement and to help people like me individually. So it's useful for us in general. So I would really say, people should look into it. And I hope that this stream has helped to make it a bit clearer for people, a bit less intimidating. And I think the demo you set up was a really good idea, nice and simple. And
note for that, because I'm using somebody else's demo server, and I think because it just keeps crashing, hopefully because it's very popular. So sorry to everybody who tried to use it and it didn't work, because I already had to reset the server like 3 times, and in my testing I never had to do that before. So hopefully that's a sign of a lot of people trying, at least. But I hope it gave an insight in how these things work.
Yeah, I think it did. So there have been some other donations that have come in. No message attached. Now, yes, there was a donation of 100 sat that came through. So that's I'm sure that's you. So thank you for that. I think that's them all. And then there was one with a sort of, I think it's a mouse, an emoji of a mouse. And so thank you for that. all right. So, excellent. Well, thank you very much. Bitcoin Flavius, I think this was a worthwhile stream. I think it was a good idea to do this. Thank you for setting up the demo and for making the points so clearly.
Well, it was my pleasure, and if anybody has questions on this subject, that's a problem. I have no reference for myself specifically, but I'll try to lurk within the Millennial Woes Telegram group. So if you have any specific questions there, just holler. I'm gonna send an army of Bitcoiners that way. And we're going to try to help you onboard these guys. You don't have to be innovators anymore. Those people already hard at work. We're at the early adopter stage, and I think the dissident movement is the dissident ride has to be in that category of early adopters.
Oh, absolutely. I'm just going to paste the link to my Telegram chat group, which is MW Public. There it is. Of course, Telegram is also a thing that people should get into. But I know that some people don't like giving their phone number. You can get a burner phone for that. You don't need to give your real phone number.
Woes, there are chat apps that run on Lightning. And that's not something that's just to give people prospect for the future. There is the possibility of just completely creating a new infrastructure for the internet based on this stuff, right? Where you get secure connections between each other based on the fact that you made a payment. The fact that you don't have to log in and you don't have to get an account for a website because you can just do a payment and log in that way. There are things might change fundamentally, and there's good reason to hop on board now, because every year, I promise you, every year now, there's going to be an exponential growth of possibilities that we can capitalize on.
Yeah, I think so too. Just in the time that, as I said, in the 5 years that I've used it, I can't imagine how much it's grown in value, Bitcoin, in that time. It must be massive, but it's just become much more accessible and usable, especially now with Lightning. As I said to you, when you showed me the Telegram bot, I thought, wow, that this is definitely a step forward. Okay, well, Bitcoin Flavius, thank you for doing this. It's been very helpful, and thank you for appearing on Millennial.
Thank you, Woes. Okay. Great pleasure.
All right, I'm going to have one of the first breaks that I've had between streams for quite a long time, and I'll be back in 45 minutes with the next stream, hopefully, which is with John Morgan. So I will see you then. In the meantime, bye-bye for now.
Millennial Woes has created many things, and this is your chance to own one of them. A unique piece of work handcrafted by the Vile Vlogger to commemorate Millennial 2021. 100 hours of highly skilled labor went into producing this animated vector graphic, which can be magnified to any size. In the iconic Millennial Woes font, it glistens and responds to your touch. And at the center of it all, a figure representative of 2021, the White Stag, symbolizing endurance, discovery, and rejuvenation. This one-of-a-kind creation is up for sale as an NFT. Follow the link below, and it can be yours forever. This is your only chance.